Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here to this time to hear your word. Shine your light upon us once more so that we would not walk in darkness, but that we would walk in your light and then reflect that light to those all around us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, with Advent here, we begin our journey once more to Bethlehem to see the birth of a special baby boy, the Son of God, our hope, our salvation. Truly is special, something, you know, I think we look forward to every year. It is truly an amazing thing, but I wonder how the world around us, and even us as Christians, how we will receive him this year. You know, because it's the same every year. Even though we worship him as the Prince of Peace, the headlines in the newspapers are the same. Maybe some main characters have changed, but there's still wars and rumors of wars. Instead of Iraq and Afghanistan, there's Russia, North Korea, China, whatever. I mean, it hasn't changed. There's still pain, despair in this world. There's still injustice. There's still scarcity of food. Maybe not on our tables, but in other places. You know, we can turn on the news, and it seems to be happening at maybe even more of an alarming rate than it did before. Just the senseless murders, the senseless taking of life, so much that I know I was thinking about it as I was preparing for this. You just become callous. You know, it's like, oh, another one? Or what happened this time? You know, and so how is the world going to receive Christ? And of course, it's not just that. We think about peace during this time. We sing the songs, the hymns, you know, joy to the world and peace on earth and silent night. All is calm. All is bright. But yet our lives aren't that way at all, are they? Especially not this season. They're more scheduled and full now than they've ever been, probably. You know, if you got kids, school stuff, church stuff. Of course, there's the decorating. Who spent a couple hours or 10, you know, decorating your home and putting up the perfect Christmas tree over the weekend? And if not this last weekend, maybe it's coming up still. You know, and then there's the cooking, the cleaning, the purchasing, the buying, the internet shopping, whatever it is, because our lives are full. Peace isn't something that is easily obtained at this time. And then let's be honest, maybe it's not just the busy schedules, but there's that hole in your heart. Maybe God has taken away something, someone, something. And there really is that hole. You know, the Christmas carols that brought joy and laughter and delight now seem to lack that. They just are songs. And a season that's supposed to be filled with happiness and celebration is one of gloominess, maybe even depression. You know, we're all looking for God. We're all trying to have that hole that is created in us when that separation of God took place way in the beginning, you know, and sin has broken our relationship. We're all looking for it. Yes, the world is looking for it, and maybe they're looking in the wrong places, but I think we are too. That we go down those same paths that the world goes down. That we try to find God in success. We try to find God in busy schedules. We try to find God in making ourselves better. If I'm a better person, if I'm this, then this world around me will be better. We try to find it in the sins and the vices of this world that promise so much, but deliver so little. And so a question is, as we begin this Advent journey, where are you looking for God this year? Are you looking for Him in His Word? In His wonderful promises? Because through the prophet Isaiah, we have a wonderful promise of what is to come. You know, years before Jesus, Isaiah comes and says that the mountain of the Lord, the temple, will be lifted higher than all the other mountains, and the nations will stream to Him. And there we will walk in His ways, we will learn His teaching, we will walk in righteousness, and that there will be a fundamental change, that the weapons of war will be beaten into plowshares and pruning hooks. The swords will become agricultural implements. You know, it's a pretty thing, a pretty amazing thing, in that the wars will cease and there will be peace among the nations and light. Let us walk in light will take place. You know, Isaiah was about 740 BC. And swords weren't being turned into plows, shovels. No, it was probably the other way around. The shovels and the plows and the hoes were being turned into swords and shields and other pieces of weapons of war. Because Assyria, one of Israel's main enemies, the one that will come in and destroy them later, is amassing a great army. They're getting stronger and stronger, and so the people are saying, let us go to the nations, let us turn, let us make alliances, let us go to Syria, let us even talk to our relatives down in the south in Judah, and then we'll be safe. But Isaiah is saying, no, don't look to the people of this world, return to God, because He is doing something new. He is going to bring about something great. You want peace. It's not in military alliances. It's not in trusting others of this world. It's trusting in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in Yahweh, who has delivered you out of the hand of Egypt, who has saved you. And so Israel hears this, and they're waiting. They're waiting for maybe even some cataclysmic event that's going to happen, that God is going to leave His throne, who's going to leave his palace and come down and destroy all of Israel's enemies, that He would fight for them. But how they miss it. Isaiah goes on, chapter 11, to tell us a little bit more about what this day of the Lord will be like. And so 11, starting in verse 3, "And His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and He shall not judge by what His eyes see, or decide disputes by what His ears hear, but with righteousness He shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of His mouth, and with the breath of His lips He shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of His waist, and faithfulness His sash. The wolf shall lay down with the lamb, and the leopard shall dwell with the young goat, and the calf, and the lion, and the fatted calf together." And here's the main point that I want to pull out. "And the little child shall lead them." He's talking about all of this, but yet it goes back to a little child. See, Israel was hoping for this military leader, and so when they hear this, that a child will lead, what? That doesn't make any sense. How can a child lead? How can a child, go into battle for us and then deliver us from our enemies? because they were looking for the wrong thing. God was coming, God was working, but it wasn't what they expected. You know, we read from Matthew for our gospel lesson, but there's actually an alternative gospel as well, and it's one that's chosen for every first Sunday of Advent. And it's Palm Sunday, the Palm Sunday story. Because they don't get it there either, right? The people don't understand what God is doing. And so on Palm Sunday, when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, what are the people screaming? Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna! And what does Hosanna mean? Save us! Save us! Save us! You're our hope! But what do they start screaming Friday morning? Crucify him. Crucify him! Crucify him! Why? Because they don't understand what God is doing. They're looking for that military leader that will come and overthrow the Romans, that will come and deliver them, that will come and save them. But God isn't doing that. Or at least not yet. Or at least not how they expect him to. They miss it. They don't understand it. They don't understand how a child, or even smaller than that, how a baby born in a manger can be a king, can be the one who is coming to save them. And so I think for us, we have to be careful as well, that we don't look for God in ways that he isn't coming this year. Or in ways that we want God to act that maybe he's not doing right now. Things that he'll do, but yet in his timing, in his ways. I'm sure many of us are looking for those big events as well, just like Israel was. Maybe it's to restore that relationship with that family member that is very strained and maybe even broken to the point where it would just be nice to have a holiday like it used to be. Or maybe it's that thing, you know, that you're missing, you know, that gift, you know, for the children, you know, the thing that you've been hoping for all the months and have put it on every Christmas list. If that would just be there, then everything would be okay. Or maybe even for us as a church, you know, as a pastor, what am I hoping for over this Christmas season? That our seats are full, that people come and they hear the word of God, that they're changed, and that they continue on. Maybe some of those people that just come for Christmas would be touched by the words of God, and that his Holy Spirit would work and tear down walls so that they want to hear about Jesus every day. But what if God doesn't do that? What if God doesn't tear down those walls and give us what we want? Does that mean he's not working? Not at all. Because he is at work. These promises of Christ coming are true. He has come. And he's ushering in the light, because he is the light. You know, it says that on that day, the mountain of the Lord, Zion, will be lifted higher than any mountains, or all the mountains. Jerusalem isn't the highest mountain. You know, if you know the scriptures, yes, when you go up to Jerusalem, and when you leave Jerusalem, you go down, because it is on a mountain. But there are other mountains around it, higher, greater. And really, throughout the history, there has never been a time when the nations, all the nations, stream towards Jerusalem. But Jesus, when he was lifted up on the cross, was higher than all the other kingdoms, all the other kings, all the other saviors of the world, because he came to die for us. He won the war. He defeated our enemy, sin, death, and the devil, so that we can have true peace even right now. And he is working that. He is doing that. even if our schedules are busy and the headlines never change and our feelings don't always match the season that we're in. And so we can live in that light right now because that is the truth. It is a now moment that he has won the victory. It is finished for you. And so we can walk in peace. We can walk in joy. But yet we wait because it is a now, not yet as well. Because things aren't perfect. Things aren't put back together. And he is coming again to make all things new, and we will be with him. And as it says, the weapons of war will be made into plowshares, and the lion will lay with the lamb, and all the animals that would devour each other now will be at peace. He is coming. And so how do we prepare? How do we prepare for Advent? It's not in wrapping more presents or doing more things or even giving to more charities. It's by believing in Christ. It's by trusting in his ways. And there we find true peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time and your words. We ask that you would create peace in us, a peace that this world can't give. Allow us to live in that peace right now because you are victorious over sin, death, and the devil through your death, through your resurrection, as we look forward to the day when you will come again. And all the enemies, even death itself, will be put under you, and we will be with you face to face. Allow us to walk in faith until that day. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We are doing something different. The board and the elders have talked, and we want to go back to passing the offering plate.